Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All of the excitement over Game 7s. Woo! And, of course, now we've got a little bit of a juice to the first round of the NBA postseason. I think this is exactly what the NBA playoffs need. A little pressure on the Golden State Warriors. My mom will be so disappointed if they get knocked out in the first round. She actually sent me a text today. Now, this is after we were speaking on the phone. And I said, Mom, are you going to watch basketball tonight? And she said, yes, I can't wait to watch the Warriors. I know they're playing. Good for you, Mom. Way to go. I don't think she watched two regular season games all year, but she loves to watch playoff basketball right on the heels of March Madness. And so she said, I just love to watch the Warriors and their brand of basketball. And she's not alone. I've got friends who love to watch the Warriors and don't watch any other NBA teams. And that is why the league does not want them to get knocked out in the first round. But a little pressure, a little seventh game tension, that might be okay. My mom also believes the NBA is rigged. I can't talk her out of it. She's sure that the NBA is rigged. So whatever. Anyway, after we spoke on the phone, she sends me this text. Now, she had said to me on the phone, I really wish I could see them play in person. And I was like, Mom, go do it. It's easy. They're in Houston a couple times a year. And I said, but you can go see them at other arenas as well. You could go home and visit Ohio and you could watch them play in Cleveland. And then I said, though, that might not be a great game anymore, at least not right now. And so she sent me a text. I just told Mike, who is her husband, to get us tickets for Rockets Warriors if we're still here this winter. Now, I don't know what my mom has planned and why she's thinking they might move. But if they do, I guess that won't be where they watch the Warriors. But I said to her, you don't want to miss the opportunity to see this group. You don't know if Kevin Durant's going to be with them next year. But even so, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, she loves Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. She just loves to watch them shoot. Again, I mean, that's why the masses love the Warriors. That's why they're so popular. So I'm pretty confident that it would be disaster for the NBA if the Clippers end up knocking the Warriors out of the playoffs. But a little tension, a little pressure, a little rut-row isn't bad for the NBA. It's actually a good thing because it brings more eyeballs, a little extra intensity. What did Klay Thompson say? That sucked. I just want to get to Friday. We're going to beat him by, he didn't say we're going to beat him by 30. He said, I hope we beat him by 30. That's always a possibility. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It was about the time I got home yesterday morning. So we'll say 6:45 a.m. Eastern time that I got home. I still had to feed the zoo and then walk the dog and all that jazz. So I wasn't ready to go to bed. But that's when I felt the adrenaline wear off. This is a week full of Game 7 adrenaline, not a little extra buzz in the NBA playoffs adrenaline and NFL draft adrenaline. And we've seen a couple of moves by various teams as they're poised and ready for the NFL draft. And one of those, which we talked about at the end of last night's show, I guess it would have been Wednesday morning then, the Seahawks trading away Frank Clark, not having signed him to a long-term deal, and he hadn't signed his franchise tender. And the Chiefs picking up yet another piece, a new piece for their defense. So they've got five new starters via trades or free agency. And some of you have asked me, why would they do that? They had Dee Ford. Why go out and get Frank Clark? Why not just pay Dee Ford? And I'm not going to be the person that suggests it's because the offsides penalty, but I'm sure there are people out there who would think that. They said I was offsides. Was I? Oh, Worst offsides penalty in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. But Dee Ford's fine. He's got a new job. So that was the Chiefs and the Seahawks. The Seahawks did not have a first-round draft pick, and they wanted to get one. So they traded for the Chiefs' 29th first-round draft pick. The Pittsburgh Steelers also made a move on Wednesday. Now, we knew this was a possibility, and it shouldn't be a surprise. But they signed Ben Roethlisberger to a contract extension. So he's now tied to Pittsburgh if he would play out the rest of the deal. The year he's got coming up plus two more years. He'd be tied to the Steelers through 2021. So again, it's a two-year extension to go along with the year he's got left on his contract. So they won't have to deal with any type of drama. Will you sign an extension? Are you planning on retiring? Do you still have any type of passion for the game? Are you enthusiastic? Are you ready to retire and walk away? Well, okay, so now we don't have to answer those questions, thank heavens. And of course, I think if you're thinking about his age, not that I thought there was any chance this wouldn't happen, but if you're thinking about his age, this could take him through the end of his career and all but guarantees that he'll never play for another franchise. So the two-year extension worth $68 million. $37.5 million is a signing bonus and a $30 million injury guarantee. You don't hear about those a whole lot. Some contracts have them, some contracts don't, but this is a hefty injury guarantee. $30 million. Roethlisberger actually just turned 37 about a month ago. So again, this could be the last deal he ever signs in his NFL career. And he's the last B left of the killer bees. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you in advance of the NFL draft, what do you need your team to do with its first round pick? What do you need your team to do? Go best player available, go specific position, and the best player available at that position. Do you need your team to trade up or down? Could Kyler Murray be available if your team needs a quarterback? This was supposed to be some foregone conclusion. How many times did we get guys like CBS NFL insider Jason LaCanfora say to us and to other shows that it's the worst kept secret in sports, and if you are a betting type, then you should bet heavily on the Cardinals drafting Kyler Murray overall number one. Except, what? Maybe it's Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim trying to throw us off the scent. The Cardinals are obviously on the clock. They could sign Kyler Murray now if they wanted to. They could sign anybody that they want to right now. They don't have to wait until the draft commences. They're allowed to do business with the rookie of their choice at this point. But is it running interference or is it smokescreen trying to throw us off the scent when Cliff Kingsbury goes out of his way to praise his current quarterback, Josh Rosen?
Josh has done everything humanly possible to show what type of quarterback he is, what type of competitor he is. And I've said it all along. Couldn't be more impressed with his approach, and he's a great player. I mean, he's a top 10 pick for a reason. You see it out there.
Fine, maybe you've said it all along, but it hasn't been that type of praise heaped on him. It's been much more cryptic. So if you're the Arizona Cardinals, what do you do with that overall number one pick? If you're not going to select Kyler Murray, and so far Josh Rosen has not been traded, obviously, the idea that he was available and that the Cardinals were planning on drafting Kyler Murray. Now, they've never confirmed that, of course, but just the idea and the rumors and the reports and the speculation caused Rosen's potential stock to drop. Not so much because he had a really bad season, though the Cardinals did. It wasn't all his fault. I don't think he was given a fair shake. Not just because of what happened with the coaching staff, but also the offensive line. And who is he throwing to, for God's sakes? And so the whole thing was a disaster on the offensive side of the ball. We already know that. How can you even evaluate a young quarterback in that atmosphere? How can he even get better? He wasn't supposed to be starting last year. And then the Sam Bradford experiment didn't work. And so they threw Rosen into the fire. That was not the plan. But if it looks like the Cardinals are going to draft another QB, well, then no team's going to overpay for Josh Rosen. But there have been teams tied to him, potentially the Patriots, maybe the Giants, other teams that are looking for their next franchise QB and want to take a flyer, albeit a cheap flyer, and not have to draft a QB in the first round if they can see whether or not Josh Rosen fits the bill. But now what I'm hearing, and again, this could be all smoke screens, is that the Cardinals are maybe 60% set on taking Kyler Murray. That it's a 60-40 proposition. And I wouldn't read too much into Steve Keim, but the general manager, he's also kind of throwing a redirect in there.
This has been an exciting offseason for our organization thus far. As I look back, I feel like we have filled a number of needs in free agencies, which has given us the opportunity to stick with our philosophy, which is to draft the best player available.
Is Kyler Murray the best player available? It depends on who you ask. Is he the best quarterback available? That might be easier to answer. In fact, we had a former NFL scout with us on the show last night. He was with the Saints and the Browns. And we asked him how he rated quarterbacks, but also how he had these particular QBs rated. And he has Murray off the charts at that position. But does that mean he's the best player available? I hear other names out there. Quentin Williams, Ed Oliver. So if the Cardinals are going for best player available, maybe they don't go with Kyler Murray. Or maybe they're just blowing smoke where the sun doesn't shine, hoping that the rest of the NFL gets thrown off the scent. The San Francisco 49ers are picking second in this draft. I feel like they have plenty of needs, so they definitely should go best player available. The New York Jets, they've been the subject of trade rumors. Could they potentially trade down? They don't need a quarterback. So if they feel like they can swap that number three pick with a team that does need a QB and is desperate to move up, maybe it's Kyler Murray if he doesn't go to the Cardinals. Obviously, the Niners are not drafting a quarterback. Maybe it's Murray. Maybe it's Dwayne Haskins. If there's a team out there that needs a QB, something tells me the Giants aren't going to make that move. But there was the talk that the Jets might move down. And so then what does Mike Maccagnan do? Now, these deals can be done until the very last second. In fact, they can be made once the Jets are on the clock. But he's the guy who's sitting pretty in the catbird seat.
Some cases, like, you sort of weigh the, hey, the value we get out of one player, obviously at the third pick, or a couple of different players at other picks in the draft, later in the draft. But again, sometimes you go through your head, you want to make sure if you pass on a guy at the third pick, you want to make sure that you get something really good in return for it. But again, we may be very happy to sit there and pick a really good player at three. It'll be a foundation player for us going forward.
Sure, but you may not need to stay at number three. These guys are all slotted, meaning they make a certain amount of money based on where they're selected in the draft. So if you can save a little money, I know rookies make relatively little compared to what veterans can make, but every dollar counts in the NFL because of the salary cap. So if you can trade down, feel like you can still get the guy you're after, which is why you're playing those cards really close to the vest, well, then you do it because you might pick up an extra pick. Ha ha, pick up an extra pick. You might earn an extra pick in the draft. Then you've got Oakland number four with Mike Mayock as the general manager. Now, what have we heard? It's John Gruden who makes the final call about picks. But I think it's really fascinating that Mayock is no longer evaluating draft picks for the entire league. Instead, he's just evaluating the options for Oakland.
At the end of the day, despite all the pressure and all the influence, you just kind of have to close the door and get your headspace back and say, what do I believe in and who do I want to fight for in this draft?
Headspace. I think it's my new favorite phrase. I have no idea what it means. You want to get your headspace back. If you understand what that means, feel free to explain it to me. Get your headspace back. Pronto. Could you imagine a coach yelling that in practice? Get your headspace back! The next time, well, my dog wouldn't get it. I was going to say the next time someone is around me is flighty and clueless and oblivious, get your headspace back! I don't really know if that's supposed to be an insult, but it's kind of funny. I like Mike Mayock for that reason. He's always interesting. What does your team need? What do you want your team to do with its first round draft pick? If your team has a first round draft pick, they don't all. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. Coming up, the most amazing story, the most amazing gesture that you will hear from an NFL team this week. And it happens to involve a former caller to the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Comes in motion. He'll be the third receiver set to the left. Flacco to throw out of the gun. His pass complete to the five and in for the touchdown. It's John Brown and the Ravens score for the first time since their opening drive.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The AFC North champion Baltimore Ravens. And of course, Lamar Jackson, their rookie quarterback, was the youngest ever to start an NFL playoff game. They're not looking for a QB. They're set at that position. We've got some other needs they need to address. Jerry Sandusky is the voice of the Ravens, and that's not why I'm bringing them to your attention. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. What does your team need, or what do you think your team should do with its first-round draft pick? The Ravens will be choosing 22nd on Thursday night, but they will also have a fourth-round pick that is very special. For those of you who are longtime listeners to the show, you may remember a few times in which we've had a very young fan call from the Baltimore area. His name is Mo, and now he's 13. And there are times when he has trouble sleeping, even if he has to go to school the next day. He'll be awake. He loves sports radio, listening to our show. And he'll call to talk about the Ravens, to talk about a variety of other sports, but the Ravens are his favorite. Well, coming up on Thursday, actually coming up over the weekend, he'll be the first person ever to announce a team's draft pick off a card written in Braille. Bravo to the Baltimore Ravens. This young man is battling cancer. He lost his eyesight at the age of 9 months. And yet he has such a sweet spirit about him. He's always giggling. He's enthusiastic. You would never know by hearing him talk, by spending time with him, that he was fighting all of these challenges in his life. And he's battling cancer now, but it's not the first time. He's a super fan. The Ravens know him. Most sports fans in Baltimore know him. Because, again, he's become one of their favorites. And because he loves sports radio so much, he calls all the time. So he will announce the Ravens' fourth round draft pick from their big draft festival on Saturday. And the only reason I know about it is because I saw this awesome package that the Ravens put together and tweeted out. And if you haven't seen it, I hope that you will check out my Twitter page, A-Law Radio. It's a few hours ago. But it's John Harbaugh calling into a radio station in Baltimore that already had Mo on the line, and Coach Harbaugh letting this young man know that he'll have a chance to announce a draft pick for the Ravens, his favorite team. And he's so excited. And I think that's really classy of the Ravens and Coach. And again, if you've ever heard him on the show, his sweet voice, his laugh, it's more like a giggle. You would never know what battles he's fighting in his personal life or in his health. How many times he's been in pain so he can't sleep. How often he's been in the hospital. The fact that he lost his eyesight before he was a year old. You wouldn't know any of that by having a conversation with him on the phone. Because he's happy. And he inspires other people. And he's certainly done that with members of the Baltimore Ravens organization. So check it out on my Twitter. Again, just go to my Twitter page. And if you page down a little bit, the Ravens put together this awesome video montage where they bring in Coach Harbaugh and they've got their different radio station hosts and they have Mo also on a camera as well. He was supposed to be in school. Well, he was in school. And then he had to go back to class. So this is wonderful. Bravo, Ravens, for keeping in mind what matters most, using the platform. And in the case of the NFL, it's an extensive platform, no matter what the team, whether the team lost in the playoffs, whether the team didn't make the playoffs, whether it's the worst team in the league. It's a passionate nation of football fans. And so the Ravens have the opportunity to give this young man the memory of a lifetime, to give him something else to think about, something else to make him happy, something else that he can share with his family and friends, even as he battles cancer again. I'm excited about that. I don't generally stick next to the TV through every pick of every round all the way through the weekend, but I'm not going to miss the Ravens and Mo Gabba making their fourth round pick on Saturday from a card with Braille on it. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Look for the Ravens piece on Mo. Also on our Facebook page, what does your team need in this NFL draft? Now coming up, the Houston Rockets were pushed by the Utah Jazz, but they closed out their first round series, their second attempt to close out. They were able to do that against Utah. And so you'll hear from James Harden, but also from Donovan Mitchell, who didn't have the kind of series that you might expect in his second time through.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All the other way. Paul stepping left, measuring and shooting a three. Good! Chris Paul! Coming through when his team needs him the most. Harden on the move, behind the back to Gordon. In on Mitchell, little show and go. Runner over Gobert, no good. The outstretch arms of Gobert forced the miss. Rebound, Paul back in the corner. Eric Gordon will squeeze it off, and he hits it! The Rockets get an offensive rebound, which leads to a kick-out corner three for Eric Gordon. Harden, runner on Gobert. Teardrop good for the beard. He's got 22.
Up and over the tower.
9 of 25 shooting. Rockets up a half a dozen. Rubio up fakes, hesitates, now shoots an open three. Missed it. Rebound Gobert. Gobert back up with the left. Missed it. Rebound Gordon. Eric Gordon with a rebound. And the Jazz will not foul, and the Rockets will advance to the Western Conference semifinals.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Craig Ackerman on the Houston Rockets Radio Network. Man, the Utah Jazz pushed the Rockets to the brink in this game number five. But in the late stages, when they had the chance to tie or take the lead, they kept fumbling the ball away. Not just that, but they took ill-advised shots. And you saw the Houston Rockets defense really rise up. A dozen steals and a dozen block shots in this game five in Houston. The first playoff game where they had double figures in both those categories since the mid-90s. Game five of the 1994 Western Conference Finals, right before they won the NBA championship. Remember, they won back-to-backs in 94 and 95. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So we'll get to some of your tweets, A-Law Radio, and a lot of you weighing in on Facebook about the team need for your favorite football franchise in the first round, because I'll be part of a first round show from 5 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday. That's 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. So essentially the span of the entire first round with a little extra time to analyze after the dust has settled, we think. Sometimes the first round drags on and on. So you have us to keep you company. And by us, I mean me, producer Chris, will be part of the show. And then also Mark Malusis, who does the morning show. And when I talked to him on Wednesday afternoon, he called me so we could kind of talk about the show a little bit since we haven't worked together. And he said, I asked him if he was doing his, well, I didn't ask him if he's doing his show. I said, you're taking off Friday morning, right? No, I'm actually working. I'm not. I will not be doing 4 hours of the draft on Thursday evening and then working overnight on Thursday night. 8 hours in the span of 10 is a little bit too much for me. And the boss didn't ask me to, so I'm not going to suggest it. I think I'll be okay with the 4 hours. And so I'm actually excited that some of my family members are going to tune in live because they normally don't hear me live. They check out podcasts or they listen to interviews that I pass along. So we'll be here Thursday evening for the first round of the NFL draft. And I hope that you will join us. And now a lot of you weighing in on Facebook or on Twitter about what your team needs and should do with its first round draft pick. There are a couple of teams that do not have a pick in the first round. We know the Cleveland Browns do not. The Chicago Bears do not. Nor do the New Orleans Saints or the Dallas Cowboys. Remember, they traded away that pick for Amari Cooper. Which, by the way, is, I just, in my brain, my spaghetti plate brain, was thinking about the Cowboys situation when I was talking about the Seahawks earlier. The Seahawks already had a first round pick. I said that they traded and got the one from the Chiefs, but that makes two. So they have two first round picks, as do a couple of other teams. The Raiders, for heaven's sakes, they're stockpiled. They have three picks in the first round. The Packers and the Giants also have double picks in the first round. But the Cowboys are the team that I was thinking of that doesn't have a pick in the first round. All right, 855-212-4227. Quinn is listening in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Welcome, Quinn.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome. I'm originally from Carroll County, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I love listening to Mo. I think Mo is awesome.
He is sweet.
I think so far with the picks coming up.
Yep.
Question for me is, you think Kyler Murray first, is he going first, or you think they're going to trade for someone else?
Honestly, as much as I feel like the Cardinals are trying to throw other teams and change the conversation, throw other teams off the scent, I still think they're going to end up drafting Kyler Murray. I'm going to go with that. I'm not big on predictions because I have no idea what's happening in their war room. And certainly there is the chance that that whole situation took on a life of its own because of how much Cliff Kingsbury admires Murray and, of course, coached against him when he was at Texas Tech until he took the job. Well, took another job before he took the job with the Cardinals. But the fact is that could have been a story that took on a life of its own. However, I still believe that if the new coach covets a quarterback that he thinks fits his system the best and they're not in a place where they are in love with the QB they have, that they very well could pick another one, and it could be Kyler Murray at the top of that draft.
I think I understand that, but I think Jacobs number one could be good.
Jacobs number one. They have
Rosen, you know, and they could possibly trade up for Rosen.
Wait, who could trade up for Rosen?
I'm saying the Cardinals could go up and trade for Rosen.
No, they can't do that. Rosen's already on their team, and they can't trade up any higher because they're at number one. But thank you for that scintillating conversation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe Facebook is safer. At least I can sift through some of your reaction ahead of time. All right, so here's what you're telling me on Facebook about your team's needs. And you can call if you have some coherent thoughts to offer to the conversation. Lewis says, the Texans have four of the first 80-something picks. They need to beef up the protection for Deshaun Watson. Oh, yeah, you think? How many times was Watson sacked last year? 60-something times, if I'm not mistaken. And remember one game he was so banged up that the doctors wouldn't allow him to fly? He had close to a collapsed lung or something crazy, and he wasn't allowed to get on an airplane, so he had to take a bus to his game. Yeah, maybe find some offensive linemen to protect your franchise QB. And then he says, maybe find a decent wide receiver opposite DeAndre Hopkins. Bryce says on Facebook, he's playing Patriots general manager, wide receiver and tight end. Tight end all of a sudden looks a whole lot different for the New England Patriots and really for the position as a whole around the NFL. Jonathan would like his Dolphins to trade up and get Kyler Murray. That'd be quite a leap, though. The Dolphins are picking 13th. Can you imagine the haul they'd have to give up to move to number one and select Kyler Murray? Whew. I don't think that's even possible. I mean, the Cardinals, if they weren't set on Murray themselves, that would be a dead giveaway. If they decided that they were willing to take everything the Dolphins had to offer. Oh, gosh. The trades, some of the juicy, scintillating trades are my favorite part. So you remember a couple of years ago, it was 2 years ago, right, that the Chicago Bears moved from number three to number two just to get, oh, my gosh, what is his name? Trubisky, thank you, Mitch Trubisky. And so they were so worried about the Niners drafting him, even though the Niners were going defense. So they swapped with the Niners to move up one spot. And as it turned out, they didn't have to because the Niners were never planning on taking a quarterback. So you're gambling, of course. It's a little bit of Russian roulette effect, though thankfully no one dies. But the... idea that you're making a trade to move up to try to prevent another team from taking the same player you want, well, that's good. It's a preemptive strike. But it also may be unnecessary. We're not going to get five quarterbacks selected in the first round like we did a year ago. That was the story of last season. The Browns finally picking up Baker Mayfield. We've talked about Josh Rosen. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills throwing their rookie QB out there. Lamar Jackson. We ended up getting all five of those QBs starting in the first round, which is something we'd never seen before. It's not likely to be that way this season. Sam Darnold, of course, being the Jets' first-round selection. However, there could still be a couple of high-profile QBs taken in Murray, in Haskins. And there might be others. It just depends on what teams need and how desperate they are. So I've heard a lot about Will Grier out of West Virginia. Of course, over and over, you'll hear the name Daniel Jones out of Duke. And I think he's interesting, too. And this is the tie that you'll hear to the NFL. His coach, David Cutcliffe, also coached the Manning brothers earlier in his career. So he changed positions. A lot of times assistant coaches will hop from team to team, or if they're really tight with a family, they'll go where these quarterbacks go. I mean, there isn't another family like the Mannings, right? But he coached both Manning brothers, and so you keep hearing that name pop up because of Cutcliffe's tie. I even heard someone compare Jones to the Manning brothers. Now, I don't know if that's because of his physical tools or it's just because he's learned under the same coach, but that one I think is interesting. Let's see. Back on our Facebook page, Edward says, Seahawks fly in any weather. Do they, though? Do they actually fly in any weather? I wonder if that's a nature fact I need to look up. He says, with the 21st pick of the first round, Seahawks need to trade back. I'd be surprised if they did that, considering they just went out and got another first-round draft pick. He says, with the 29th pick of the first round, we need a pass rusher. John says the Titans need a wide receiver and a linebacker. I'm excited to see how Nashville does as a host city for this draft. And also, what's the over-under on how long the crowd boos Roger Goodell? Or maybe in the heartland, I kind of feel like Nashville's a nice city. What do they have to boo Roger Goodell for? Come on, what did Roger Goodell do to the Tennessee Titans? He actually really was complimentary about their owner, Amy Adams Strunk. They were doing a press conference. I don't know if we have any of the audio from that. They were doing a press conference on Wednesday talking about this historic move to have the city of Nashville and the Titans play the host for the NFL draft for the first time ever. And he was really complimentary about her and about how much she's respected as an owner in the NFL. And so I don't know. Maybe they won't boo Roger Goodell. Mike says on Facebook, my hometown team, the Panthers, need a quarterback so they can ditch Cam. Huh. I don't know if I see that happening either. Call me crazy. A different Mike says on Facebook, in Atlanta, the need is defensive interior line. This could be Coach Quinn's expatriation date season. Do you think that's what he meant? Expatriation date season? Or do you think he meant expiration date? Now, is that an autocorrect problem? Expiration to expatriation? I don't even know if that's a word. Maybe it is. There's not a red squiggly line under it. It's expatriation date. I'm going to look that up. Coach Quinn's expatriation date season. It's a mouthful. If the Falcons don't have a winning record. Billy says the Steelers, pass rusher or number one receiver to play with Juju. Wait, you have Juju. He's your number one receiver. Why are you going out and getting another number one receiver? How about a number two receiver? Because Juju's your number one. Oh, and the team MVP. Remember that? Just a couple months ago? We'll get to more of your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.